Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you're a defendant standing in court before a judge, you expect justice. But in Michigan, what you also get is a judge who needs money from you, the defendant, to help pay for expenses, not just for the court, but in many cases for the county as well. And that's raising questions about money's influence on our justice system. The Michigan Trial Court Funding Commission spent 14 months studying our court funding system. And today, it came out with a 43-page report boiling down to this conclusion: our court funding system is broken. Ingham County District Judge Tom Boyd is chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission. Judge Boyd, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Help us understand that system. How are Michigan's trial courts funded now?
The trial court is funded with a blend of money from local taxes, revenue generated by the courts themselves, the cost that you referred to, and then some state money and a small amount of federal money. About a little over 40% comes from local taxes.
Okay.
And a little over 25% comes from money that's gathered by the courts to help fund themselves. Some of the money that's gathered by the courts is then sent to the state and sent back to the counties. It's a complex spider web of statutes that moves money back and forth like some sort of a money laundering scheme to move it around.
And in saying it's broken, why is that?
Well, you know, the commission first had a very open-minded look at the way the process works. And we came down with a list of problems or concerns. The first of those is the one that you've mentioned, and that's the real or perceived conflict of interest between the judge's impartiality and the obligation to use the court to generate revenue. And in spite of that pressure, we also found that there's an inadequate funding from all sources, with an excessive dependence on local government funding, which isn't necessarily stable in the current economy. And finally, that this led to an unequal access to justice, which harms those who are most vulnerable and have the least financial resources.
So as a district court judge, have you experienced pressure to raise money, bring in the dollars?
I'm very fortunate that the current Ingham County Commission is very supportive of the mission of the district court as an agency to create safer communities. But when I first began, I was summoned to the commission to explain why I wasn't bringing in enough money to support the court and other government functions.
And when you see, digging into this real or perceived conflict of interest between that judicial impartiality and that obligation to, fill the coffers and raise money, what can that mean for defendants?
Well, nothing in the report suggests that financial punishment shouldn't be a part of a sentence. So it isn't to say that criminals who can afford to pay fines shouldn't pay fines. We're not saying that at all. The question is, should there be a connection between the amount of money that comes into a court and the amount of money available to run the court? That's the corrupting link that we're pointing out and suggesting needs to be fixed.
And in real life, is there a case that sticks in your mind where you feel that some defendant was really put in the wrong place because of this pressure?
There are numerous examples all over the system where people are caught up in the fines and costs. As a result, people within the community feel that the court's really not out for justice or about for public safety, but just out for money. And so they focus on the money aspect considerably. If you think about, one of the presentations that the Trial Court Funding Commission had was from Chirag Baines, who was a official with the U.S. Department of Justice, who wrote the report or assisted in writing the report on Ferguson, Missouri. So if you remember Ferguson, mm-hmm. It was a situation where the police and the courts used their authority for civil infractions and minor misdemeanors to raise revenue to run the city. And eventually, with the unfortunate interaction between police and a citizen that led to his death, the community revolted. But the Justice Department's report showed that the death was only the match that lit a fuel-soaked stack of hay, which was the way that the courts and the police had treated the community. So this disconnect between the community and the court's role to provide justice needs to be addressed. And our report suggests that the community, when they conclude the court is more focused on or too focused on revenue as opposed to simply a just outcome in each case.
If you've just joined me, I'm talking with Ingham County District Judge Tom Boyd, who's chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission, which is released today. It's 43-page report examining our court funding system and concluding it is broken. And how do Michigan's courts in this system of funding compare to national best practices?
You know, interestingly, when we looked at the problems first, as I've described, we then compared it, held it up to the mirror of national best practices. And what you see there is, in each instance, we're 180 degrees from where the recommendations from the National Center on State Courts and other organizations that describe best practices. So they specifically talk about the fact that the courts shouldn't be funded by their own revenue. They specifically talk about the fact that general fund revenue should be used to support the courts and that this type of a conflict shouldn't exist. They specifically talk about uniform funding and standards that are across the board. And Michigan fails on almost every one of those standards as it relates to funding.
What did your commission find to be the main barriers to having an effective trial court funding system for our state, one that looks much more like the national best practices?
What the Trial Court Funding Commission in this report suggests is five relatively simple recommendations. I'm not saying they'd be easy to do, but they're relatively straightforward in their articulation. And the first is that the money shouldn't stay locally with that unit of government. If you can imagine the old concept of a speed trap, or if you believe you have one in your community today, the reason that that's done may be to make that street safer, but it might be to enhance revenue for the local unit of government. And if all the money that comes into the court goes off to the state, as we recommend in our report, the incentive for either the police or the court to increase their revenue goes away. So then they only have the motivation to do what is just in the case to enhance public safety in their community. So one of the main recommendations we've made is that the money that comes into the court not stay locally, but goes off to the state. And then with an infusion of state dollars, that money is sent back to the locals in an amount appropriate to run that court. So one of the things we found, as I mentioned earlier, is an inequality in the way that justice is administered. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that some local communities have more money than others. So the idea here would be that we would have a level playing field as it relates to access to justice and the services provided by the courts.
That's an important change. Is there any other important recommendation that really you feel that needs to get out there that people need to understand?
What we're talking about is starting to increase the state's participation in funding trial courts so that the burden on the local community can be lessened, although it's very important that the local community maintain the efforts that they're currently putting forward in supporting their trial courts. It is a partnership between local funding units and the state. In that partnership, we suggest that the state offer to take over all technology. This would, again, ease access to the courts and enhance the user's experience because one court's computer system would be just like any other court's computer system. Today, the trial courts, specifically the district courts, spend incredible amount of time arresting people. Well, I shouldn't say that. The police arrest the people, hold the people, and then the court talks about money that's owed. So the court system becomes more of a tax collector than a court. And so we're suggesting by sending all of the revenue and all of the collections to the state, the trial court system gets out of the tax collector function.
Challenges to this system have made their way to the Michigan Supreme Court, especially People versus Cunningham, where the court ruled state law does not provide courts with the authority to impose costs on criminal defendants to fund day-to-day operation of the courts. And that leads us to a case that is now before the state high court, People versus Cameron. What's at stake in this pending decision?
It really flows naturally from Cunningham. So the legislative fix to Cunningham is being directly challenged in Cameron. In other words, the defendant in Cameron, as part of his sentence, was assessed costs to fund the court that convicted him, just as the legislature allowed after Cunningham. Defendant, Mr. Cameron, is challenging the constitutionality of that legislation. We don't, in this report, begin to guess what the Supreme Court will do. What we've tried to do is create a model or a system that would succeed without regard to the conclusion. If the Supreme Court says everything's fine, the recommendations work and they fix the problems that we've identified. If the Supreme Court says there's a variety of different problems or defects constitutionally with the current system, the report recommendations facilitate solutions to that. We don't provide the money. We're not the legislature. We didn't try to overstep our responsibilities and get into what the legislature might do with that challenge. But we detailed a system that would fill in the void and allow the legislature to make the hard decisions about how to fund the trial courts.
And I know this interim report of the Trial Court Funding Commission is going to the governor and to the legislature and to the Michigan Supreme Court. I have to ask, what do you say to the why should I folks? I think a lot of law-abiding citizens might ask, well, why should I have to pay for a criminal court when I follow the laws? I don't use the criminal court. What's wrong with charging people who've done something that requires them to appear in court?
Again, there's nothing to suggest that people who commit crimes might not have a financial responsibility. The question really becomes, who benefits from the criminal justice system and the judicial system? So, is the drunk driver really the only person that benefits from his or her arrest? The answer to that is no. We all benefit from public safety and from law enforcement and courts doing their jobs. And so, like every other general obligation of the government, we all should be pitching in to support those things financially. It is directly because of the real or perceived conflict of interest that the national best practices suggest you can't only rely on those people who are committing the transgressions, violating the law, to fund the system, or you have the perverse incentive to find people guilty when they're not, or to punish them more severely than you might have otherwise. Those are the real harms that the American system is set up to prevent, and that we are potentially falling down on the job.
Ingham County District Judge Tom Boyd, chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission, releasing its 43-page interim report today examining Michigan's system for funding court operations. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always great to talk with you, Judge Boyd.
Thank you.